What's the title of today's message, saints? It's game time, calling an audible. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word today, speak to each of our hearts, challenge us to move from where we are to where you would have us be in you, that Jesus would be glorified in our lives. Amen and amen. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a situation in which you were planning to do something with another person, and at the last minute you realized your plans was not going to work? So you needed to get in touch with the other person to let them know of a change of plans. Now, today, since we have cell phones, that's a pretty easy thing to do, providing the other person has a cell phone. But even before cell phones, there were ways in which people connected with each other. Now, our series of topic is, it's game time, and we're going to be talking about how games relate to our lives during the next couple of weeks. Pastor Toby preached last week on how to have a winning team or be on a winning team, and I'm going to talk about being an audible. Now, how many of you know what this is? Boy, some of y'all are scared. This is indeed a football. It's a little one, but it is a football. Now, those of you who have gone to a football game, you may have noticed that every once in a while, the quarterback, he will go up to the line, and he'll bend over, and he'll look down, look at the defense, and he'll look this way, and he'll say something like, red 58, red 58, hut, hut, hut. And then he'd go back and he'll pass the ball this way or the other. And then he'll come up again and he'll do the same thing. Only this time he'll say, green 62, green 62. And he'll come back and he'll run a play and they will go on. But all of a sudden they know in the huddle, they're back there talking and they say, let's run this ball right up the middle and score this touchdown. And so they've called the play, and they're going to run smack up the middle. And when the quarterback gets up to the line, and he bends over, he notices those two linebackers that were over there are now right here where they want to run. He's got two choices. Or actually, he's got three of them. He could ask, would you guys please move from over there where you are to where? How many of you know that's not going to work? He could say, I don't care how big, bad, and ugly they look. We come in there anyways, and he's probably going to get squashed. Oh, yes. Or he could call an audible. And the reason he's been calling those numbers out is this time when he comes up, he doesn't say red, he doesn't say green, he says blue 39. Now, everybody on his team knows when he says blue, he's actually changing the play. All right, so he says blue 39, blue 39. And this time, instead of everybody going this way, they all are headed around the end away from those guys. That's called calling an audible, changing the play. So now, next time you hear them on that football game, there really is a method to that madness of what he is, that he is saying. Now, you can save yourself a lot of trouble in a game if you know when to audible because of what you're looking at. And likewise, in your life, you need to know when to call an audible in order to save you from some serious setbacks. Now, like I said, we are in the series, It's Game Time. If you have not discovered it yet, you are going to discover that you may have come up with some great plans for how you are going to live your life, but somebody or something is going to get in the way. And you have a choice. You can look at those mean, ugly linebackers of life and ask them to move. You can go smashing right into them. Or you can say, you know, maybe I need to change my plan. Your goal is still to win the game. But you sometimes need to recognize what I am doing is not going to work. I've got to make an adjustment. How many of you have found the mistakes of other people will cause you to have to make an adjustment? Now, right now, some of us may need to make some adjustments in our lives. The financial plan we have is not working. If you are in a house that's too expensive for you, I don't care how much you pray, it's going to be too expensive for you next week and the next week and the next week. You got to do something different. The relationship that we thought was gonna we were going to have, that thing may be crumbling. The walk that we should be having with the Lord, it may be done got off of center. And we need to make some adjustments. The career we thought was going to last forever, well, last week we got a notice saying, don't come to work next week. We are about to graduate from high school, and all of a sudden we realize those D's and F's we got back in 9th and 10th grade have caught up with us. We got to come up with another plan. And planned on getting pregnant, but the child is on the way, or the child is already here. We hadn't expected to be put in the position we are in because of other people's choices, but we do. How many of you have found that sometimes in life you find yourself playing against a different team than you thought you were going to be playing against in this stage of your life? You thought by now it was just going to be smooth and on, and you was going to be able to do this, and you were going to. But it's a whole nother ball game. Now, the good news is that God still has a plan for each one of our lives, and God knows that we can all still make it. We want to know so often, okay, God, what is your will for my life right now? How many of you have prayed prayer like, God, I just want to know what your will is for my life. We want to know, is it this job or that job? Is it this school or that school? Do I buy this car or that car? Do I go out with this person or that person? And the list goes on and on and on and on. And you know something? We're under a delusion.
Say delusion.
Delusion. What is the delusion we're under? We are under the delusion that if we knew what God's will was, we'd always do it. And two, that if we did God's will, then everything would be easier for us and life would fall in place and we will live happily ever after. How many of you know the only time you live happily after ever after is once you on the other side of heaven's gates? Now, for those of us who are in church today, wanting to know God's will for our lives, I can give you five things that is God's will for your life this week. And if you do them, you will be a stronger believer next week than you are right now. And I'd like to be able to tell you that I stayed up until 4 o'clock in the morning saying, God, what are these mysterious things that you have for your people and all of that? Maybe I will say that. Well, no, I've been that. It wasn't true. I would like to say that, but I did something more simpler than that, that each one of us can do. I went and looked at the Bible to see what is God's will for my life. 99% of what we are looking for is already right here. And that 1% doesn't matter nearly as much as you think it does. I can say with certainty right now, number one, it is God's will for us to give thanks in the situation we are in right now. How do I know that? Because the scripture says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. So right now say, thank God, thank you, Lord, for where I am right now. Okay? Now, you don't have to be thankful for the circumstance, but you need to be thankful that you are where you are because God is working on your behalf, and you need to thank him for what he is seeking to do in you right now. Okay, so even though y'all had a big argument and a big fight this morning, thank God that God is going to do something in you this afternoon that's going to draw you closer to him and closer to each other. Now, if you are complaining about everything, you are violating God's will for your life right now. How many of you know it's time for you to call an audible and change your plate. Start saying what you are thankful for. Now, I don't know how many of you read the newspaper this week, but Dr. King's dream, it looked pretty dismal in Ohio when our new governor took us back 49 years this week and gave us a cabinet without a single brown or black face and declared, I did this in order to get the best qualified people. Now, I wonder how many of us did he actually interview? How many of us did he talk to see if we might have even met the qualifications? Were we automatically disqualified because we were black and brown? Now, even in the midst of this, I am thankful. Thankful that because of the efforts of Dr. King and the civil rights movement, the next time we tell folks, go out and vote, they will get up and go vote. We get what we don't act for. I am thankful that God is going to use this governor to help us to recognize we need to take more responsibility for ourselves and quit thinking somebody else is looking out for our best interest. I can tell you, secondly, it is God's will for you to live holy this week. I got one amen down here. Let me say that again. It is God's will for you to live holy this week. Tell the person next to you, God wants us to live holy this week. Praise God. Thank you, Oregon. Okay, now, part of what this means is, if this is not your husband and this is not your wife, you're not going to have sex with them. Now, that's not real hard to figure out God's will in this area, is it? You my husband? No. Bye. You my wife? No. It's not that hard to figure out. It also means we're not going to spend a huge, large amount of time lusting and fantasizing over another person or a book or a computer screen. Why? Because it's God's will for us to be free from all the bondage that comes from sex out of control. Lust is a desire that can never be satisfied. Because Satan always is going to make lust look more wonderful than it really is. It's like just a little this and a little that. How many of you know most of us can't handle just a little of this and a little of that? Most of us can't. That's why we need to stop the thing before it really gets started. Because you see, when it comes to desire, we may go looking for desire with a big smile on our face, but leave after it's over with a sense of pain and sadness if we're truly seeking to follow God. So this week, when temptation comes your way, it's time to call an audible. Run 22. Jump 36. Don't text 49. Get rid of that thing. All of us are counting on you to make the right choice. Tell them, your church is counting on you. Your church is counting on you. Yeah, we counting on you. Now, how many of y'all, how many of y'all are counting on me not to embarrass y'all this week by doing something stupid? Hand right there, hand right. Look at that. If y'all don't do any other prayer, y'all pray, Lord, don't let Pastor Rick mess up this week. Why? Because if I mess up, do I go down by myself? No. First thing they want to say to you, hey, wasn't that your pastor on church? Pastor Toby's my pastor, huh? Okay, because we are all tied in this thing together. The greatest betrayal of the civil rights movement is not the election of John Kasich. The greatest betrayal of the civil rights movement in our community has been the irresponsible use of sex in our community. You know, when our young ladies are are having babies by the truckloads, and our young men are going to prison by the busloads, and the ones in prison got three different ones here. And how are we going to advance? Is this what these people gave their lives for? Is this why it was beat in Birmingham, shot in Selma, and all these other places? So that we could just be irresponsible? Again, we need an audible to move in the direction of holiness. Is this what God wants me to do? You see, we all benefit from a holy lifestyle. All of us benefit from it. God isn't trying to keep us from having a good time. God is trying to get us to see if you want to move forward as a people, as an individual. Holiness is the way to do it. Third thing, it's God's will for us this week. It is God's will for us to allow for God to develop generosity in us. It's God's will for you to be a cheerful and faithful giver. That's a good place to hit the organ there, Peter. It is God's will for you to be a cheerful and faithful giver. You see, your happiness and my happiness is not going to depend on how much we can hold for ourselves, but on how generous are we being in being a blessing to others. God has told us if you want him to bless a pot, multiply what you have, then give him the first part of what you have. Bring in your tithes and see if he will bless it. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, some of you are going to receive more than you expected this year because of your faithfulness in keeping your pledge to the Excelling and Giving campaign. Now, I still hear some people saying, you know, Pastor Rick, I just don't have anything to give. If you really believe that, I kind of feel sorry for you. Because our campaign has never been about rich people giving money. Our campaign has been, what can I do to sacrifice for 2 years and go without so that I can help the kingdom make a difference in the lives of others? You know, I'd like to be able to tell y'all Pastor Toby and I are so rich that our pledge don't hurt us anywhere. We can just give. I would like to be able to say that. Why don't one of y'all bless me so that I can? Can say that. Marvin, you start getting any proceeds from that book yet? Okay, but it is a sacrifice. Because that's what God sometimes calls us to do. Faithful giving also keeps us from being possessed by things. Because things like lust, you never get satisfied from them. Remember I preached a sermon a number of years ago about how much I owe me, and I shared with you my lust for computers and how they just kept coming out and driving me crazy because I had to get the next one and the next one. Well, I've gone almost 2.5 years without buying a new computer. And you know what? I can walk in Micro Center and not even go over in that area. It used to be there was a smell that just took over me. Now I barely make it to Micro Center. And there's a freedom from that. There's always something new on the horizon. And if your life is consumed with wanting to be rich in order to have things, then it's time to call an audible. Yes. You know, when you go to buy you a house for you and your family, don't buy the house that you can afford at the maximum, because you have to pay the maximum payment the whole 15 or 30 years. What you do is you look at the house. Before you look at the house, you say, here is how much money we're going to spend. Because how many of you know you're going to want to go on some vacation sometime? And how many of you know you're going to want to go out to dinner sometime? And you're going to want to do this sometime? But if you got the most expensive thing you afford, you already chose to be broke for the next 30 years. God says for us, live below your means. Live below your means. And if you do, you'll always have something extra. But if you go to the real estate person and you say, well, I make $60,000 a year. Well, you can afford this house, because a person making 70 would usually want to get this, and you probably could find an extra $100 and you just be in debt. Yeah, I probably could find an extra $100. No, you don't have any savings. Yeah, I probably could. Oh, man, y'all making me get off my sermon here. I ain't going to get through these things. Let me move on to number 4. It is God's will for us to suffer for trying to live godly in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? It is God's will for us to suffer for trying to live godly in Christ Jesus. Did you know that God intended for people to laugh at you because you go to church? Did you know God gets really excited in heaven and probably give you a high five when you go to school and they say, here come the choir boy, here come the holy girl, here come the preacher, the deacon, here come Miss Goody Two Shoes, and the like. You know, God is in heaven saying, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. And what are you doing on earth? Oh, no, God, they're going talking about me again. I just don't know if I can handle this. Did you know God expects people to try to take advantage of your goodness and love? Did you know that when others exclude you because of your faith, you are actually within the will of God for your life? You ought to be glad they didn't invite you to that party, because it means they saw something in you that they knew ought to mess up your mind if you come to the party. Your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents or your friends attempt to humiliate you because of your love for Jesus, they are actually fulfilling God's plan for your life, and you wanted to hit them upside the head with a baseball bat. We often think that when we allow our lights to shine, it's going to draw people to Christ. But think about this. When you are in a dark room and somebody comes on and flips on a bright light, how many of y'all say, hallelujah, that light has arrived? What do most of us say? Turn that light off. So when you walk into a world of darkness, everybody is not excited to see you. Now, in our New Testament reading, Paul had a vision from God to go to Macedonia and preach the gospel. Paul and his companions had wanted to preach in Asia, but God said, no, don't go to Asia. Paul and his companions, they wanted to go into Bithynia to preach, but the scripture says, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to do that. Now, I want you to remember this. You can want to do the right thing for someone, but the Lord may be saying, no, don't do it. It is not always God's will for you to make a sacrifice of yourself to meet someone else's need. Your motive may be right, your desire may be right, but it would not be the best thing for you to make the choice to help that person or to intervene. There were people in Asia that needed to hear the gospel. There were people in Bithynia that needed to hear it. But God did not want Paul and his companions to take on that responsibility. Part of living godly in Christ Jesus involves saying no and being assaulted by others verbally for your choice. Because people will try to guilt you into making a decision to help. I thought you said you were a Christian. I thought you said you were living for Jesus. Every opportunity to help does not come from God. Sometimes we think we helping it out for a week. That week turns into 6 months, which turns into 6 years, which turns into a lifetime. Don't be so eager to say, I'm doing this for God. Paul and Silas, they went to Macedonia within God's will for their lives. When they got over there, they met with some initial success. And because of their faithfulness in preaching the gospel, they ended up being arrested and nearly beaten to death. Did you hear that? Now, who told them to go to Macedonia? God told them to go. So you can be within God's will and still run into trouble. But you need to see what is it God is doing in the midst of that. Because out of that beating, the Philippian jailer and his family got saved. The church at Philippi was born. The book of Philippians was written. And how many of you have used the book of Philippians to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Well, that came about because of the trials they went through. If you're being persecuted because of your love for Christ and you're getting ready to quit, you need to call an audible and start looking at things from God's perspective. Instead of being discouraged, realize that your light is doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. Your unsaved friends and your family members never laugh or mock you. Something is probably wrong. You probably need to call an audible of how you behave around them. Sometimes we go through some hard times in order for God to get us in a place that he wants us to be. Now, God had a plan for the accident that Anita and Doris went through this week. Horrendous accident. Anita, she's got a broken collarbone, fractured ribs, and they sent her home in that condition, in all kind of pain. John, he had an operation this past Friday. It was successful. He goes home, I think, tomorrow. Very, very sick. Now, I told them, Anita and Doris at the hospital, I says, you know what? God has a plan for you while you are here in this hospital. I don't know why you are here, but God does. So make up your mind already that everybody that comes through that door, you have been called to minister to. And you know something? Before I even saw Doris in the hospital, I knew she was doing that. You know how I knew? Because at the nurse's station, when I said, which way is room two, whatever, three, whatever, the nurse's faces lit up. And they said, you're talking about Miss Oglesby. Make sure if she looks like she's asleep, wake her up. She had already been showing the love of Christ because she had passed it on to them. Now, what's God's will for us concerning them? How many of y'all got a little extra meatloaf you could cook? Now, we know Anita has got cracked ribs and laying down. We know John is going to be in a whole lot of pain. How many of us could say, you know what, maybe God has called me to cook a meal and take it over there for him one day? You know, so God can take one thing and turn it into a witness for all of our lives, if we are but open and willing. This is why we call ourselves the body of Christ. People a lot of times say, well, what can I do? Well, here's one little thing you can do. Fifth and the last one, it is God's will for you to trust him no matter what. Pastor Toby had us saying last week in her sermon, I will trust Jesus. Remember that? Let's see it. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. Now, sometimes things from our past can come into our lives and mess up our current situation. Have you had something surface up that you thought was gone and it comes back? Okay. Now, in our Old Testament reading, we ran into Jacob. Now, those of you who remember Jacob, you can recall that 21 years ago, Jacob had been a very sneaky little fellow. I had preached a message on how Jacob had tricked his blind father into thinking that he was his brother Esau and tricked his father to give him his brother's blessing, and it was just a big family mess. And so his mother had had him run away to his uncle Laban Because his brother Esau said, as soon as my father died, I am going to kill my brother Jacob for what he did for me. So Jacob's mother had sent him away, and it's been 21 years now, and things didn't go as well for Jacob as he has thought, because Laban, turned out his uncle, was a bigger cheat and twister than he had been. And in a period of 21 years, he had changed Jacob's wages 10 different times, and it was never this way, it was always that way. And so Jacob, no doubt, had been talking to God about this and complaining about how bad things had gotten and stuff. And then one day God told Jacob, Jacob, you have been with Laban long enough. Go back to the land of your fathers and relatives, and I will be with you. Now, that sounded like good news, but Jacob didn't fully believe God would be with him exactly as Jacob wanted God to be with him. How many of you can relate to that? You know God said he was going to be with you, but you're not quite sure he's going to be with you as strongly as you want him to be with you. So instead of telling Laban that he was leaving, Jacob decided he would take his family and his flocks and kind of sneak away. And they are looking for him. And after the third day, Laban says, you know, I ain't seen Jacob around. And somebody says, well, I don't know how to tell you this, but Jacob is hightailing it out of here, and he has been gone. It takes Laban 7 days to catch up with him. And Laban is thinking, when I get that boy and get my hands on him, he is thinking of all these things he's going to do. He's got his men. He's going in hot pursuit. He's planning on taking back everything Jacob had left with, the sheep, the goats, as well as Jacob's wives and children, who was his children and grandchildren. And he had the power to do it, and Jacob couldn't really do anything about it. Except Jacob had a promise from God. It was, go where I told you to go, and I will be with you. Now, we get ourselves into all kinds of problems when we think the answer to our problem is to just do this a little while so I can get myself back together. You ever been tempted to do that? I know I ain't got no business over here. I'm just going to do this a little while until I get myself back together. Problem is, when we do that, we don't see what answer God was going to provide for us. When we leave the Lord, it makes it difficult for God to do what God intended to do on our behalf. So Jacob started. Now, when Jacob is running and he sees this cloud of dust on the horizon, he knows it's Laban coming after him with his men. And if you were Jacob, how many of you would have started to get a little nervous about that? Well, he's coming in hot pursuit, but the night before that, God had appeared to Laban in a dream. And he said, be careful. Don't you say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. I want you to see that God is saying to Laban, don't you try to offer him such a good deal that he'll want to come back. And don't you try to scare him, the daylights out of him, to make him come back either. So when he finally catches up with Jacob, he can't do anything good or bad to him. It wasn't because of anything Jacob was able to wrestle up. It's like God works behind the scene when we don't know God is working behind the scene. Jacob had seen that God could provide for him. Now, on the way home, he remembered what he had done to his brother Esau 21 years earlier. And so he decided he would try to get on his brother's good side by sending him the message. He says, I'm coming home, and the Lord has blessed me, so I am rich. In other words, brother, I'm coming home. I got so much wealth. When I get home, there's going to be enough for me, for you. And remember when I stole that blessing, I got that blessing. I don't even need what dad was going to leave me in the will. You can have it all. Now, that sounds like a pretty good deal. So he sends this message out. And the messengers come back and they say, well, he said, did you see my brother Esau? And they says, yeah, and he's coming against you with 400 armed men. How many of you know that's not a good sign? Jacob was terrified of what his brother was going to do with him. How many of you have been Jacob would have said, God, did you really tell me to go home? Did you really tell me to go home? I can still turn around and go somewhere else. He had God's promise that he was going to be with him. And even though he didn't know what to do, God did know what to do. We need to recognize, I heard a pastor say this when I was listening to a sermon, nothing ever occurred to God. You know how we can say, it just occurred to me. God, that can't happen to God. God is, it just occurred to me, Marvin was going to do that. God doesn't do that. God knows already, he knows it all at the same time. So it didn't catch him by surprise. Now, sometimes God makes us confront our past because he wants us to deal with the situation. And when Esau was coming toward Jacob, I fully believe in my heart, he intended to wipe Jacob out. The scriptures doesn't tell us what happened, but somewhere between Esau leaving and him getting to Jacob, God did something. Because when he got to his brother, he ran toward him. You imagine Jacob thinking he's going to get me with the knife, the gun, or what? He runs toward him, throws his arms around him, kisses him, and says, brother, I don't need none of your stuff. You can keep it all. That was God. That was God. Because sometimes we need a person's heart to change. And we can't change hearts. Only God can change hearts. You know, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what your situation is. It might get tight. It might get tough. You might have to go through a struggle. You might have to move away from somebody. You may have to let something go. But I do know this. God is able to give us audibles to change our lives. And just like God told Jacob, I will be with you, Jesus tells us, I will be with you. It's game time with our lives. We can sit back and pout that this didn't go as we wanted to and that didn't go with the way we wanted to. But we got to get past that at some point. We can't get upset because the other team's players won't get in line with what we want them to have. We can't keep running the same play when it hasn't worked before. God is saying it's time for some audibles. And God is saying, look, you want to know my will for you. Let's live one day at a time. My will for you this week, be thankful for where you are. Live holy. Be a faithful and cheerful giver. Rejoice when you are persecuted for living godly. And trust God no matter what. None of us are big enough to handle life and death on our own. That's why Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord. God, none of us have the perfect life. None of us have everything go the way we want it to go. And God, all of us have some obstacles, all of us have some difficulties, all of us have some temptations, all of us have some struggles. And sometimes we just insist on doing things our way anyway. Give us that desire, oh God, to trust you no matter what. That we'd allow you to call home.